So are you game for some memory work with me? Since we're in kid mode here, you look sharp and ready for this. Some of you look a little nervous. Don't be nervous. Don't get scared. Repetition is our friend, right? So here we go. Now, this is going to be easy, really. Easy. Okay, join me aloud a couple times. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. If you've been on the app recently, you've noticed we're putting out this challenge during this series to memorize this. So let's work on this a couple times together aloud. Here we go. Ready? Join me, please. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Great, great job. One more time, let's do it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those are Jesus' words here in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. You know, our heart places prove pivotal. Our heart places prove pivotal in life. I can take you to pivotal places, sacred heart spaces in my own life story. My heart caught contagious, creative, surprising generosity as a four-year-old. Very early, one Christmas morning, I stumbled out to find Mom and Grandma awake in Grandma's living room, drinking coffee. Christmas tree lights twinkling. I was all of 4 years old. And they were just waiting, right? They're just waiting for me to see several very big bow-topped gifts, not wrapped in paper or in boxes, just out there in the open with bows on them. And I had been, I was going to get a garage, which was awesome, this toy garage, a boy's dream gift as a four-year-old. My dad worked in a garage. They thought that was cool that I was going to see this open, bow-topped garage. And there it was. So I came down the hall and twinkling Christmas lights and Mom and Grandma drinking coffee and this bow-topped garage for me, for free. And I was like, whoa, so cool. It was that moment that my imagination was captured. The inner recesses of my heart and soul were arrested, seriously, and began being shaped toward joyous encounter, generosity, laughter, as Mom and Grandma laughed watching me, and great kindness and a host of other heart-deep character qualities. Hearts are contagious. Jesus' heart, gentle and lowly, full of compassion, will transform yours if you let him. Hearts are contagious. Jesus' heart, gentle and lowly, full of compassion and that mercy we sang about a few moments ago, it will transform yours if you let him. God specializes in works of heart. How's your heart? How's your heart? Your heart is always being formed. What's forming you? Bigger question, and we'll dissect this today, is your heart being formed to be more like Jesus? Is your heart being formed to be more like Jesus? See, on our own, left to ourselves, in our human condition, we have great heart trouble. We do. Jeremiah 17, through the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 17, the Lord says this. Listen closely. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Wow. Whoa. And desperately wicked. Wow. Who really knows how bad it is? I'd say that's heart trouble. Verse 10, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. This is true because of humanity's fall into sin, corruption, and curse. The amazing good news is that Jesus came to renew our hearts with his heart. The amazing good news is that Jesus came to renew our hearts with his heart. Wondrous self-revelation from King Jesus right here in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Vital to know that Matthew's big aim in his gospel is to show us Jesus as the promised king, the prophesied Messiah who has come to rescue humanity. I mean, we needed rescued, right? When you hear that heart description in Jeremiah 17, tells us we need a rescue. You needed a rescue. I needed rescued. That's why Jesus came with his heart. Prophesied Messiah to rescue humanity and place us in his new kingdom of true righteousness. True righteousness. Last week in our series intro, we dissected verse 28. We heard Jesus' warm clarion call to come, like inviting someone to a great feast or to a great evening together with friends or dreaming about the future or planning for a great endeavor with work associates. Come, Jesus says. But his clarion call to come was interesting because his call was to all of us weary ones, burdened down. And what does he say? He promises his rest, such wondrous forgiveness and freedom and rejuvenation and renewal both now and forever. Real rest. How's your heart these days? How's your heart these days? In God's word, your heart is that core central control center, the seat or throne room of your mind, will, and emotions. Your affection, decision, and choices factory. It's that unseen space deep inside you where you process your thinking, feelings, priorities, and actions. Your heart guides what you say and don't say. Your heart guides where you go on your phone. Whether you react in anger or calm. Whether you do or don't, with good attitude, serve others in your workplace. So that grumpy person at the grocery store working the checkout this week who was grumpy with you, well, they made a heart choice, just heartbeats before grumping at you. And if you were the grumpy one working there, you made a heart choice, just a few heartbeats before grumping at somebody in line. Your heart stirs you to cry. Your heart determines how you invest your life energy and time and money. It impacts the quality of your love for your family and friends. Your heart modulates your anxiety and your motivations, your empathy, sexual impulses, resilience, and a host of other human character choices. Your heart is up to all of that. How's your heart these days? Let's see more of Jesus' stunning self-revelation in this cluster of verses. Verse 29 starts like this. Take my yoke upon you. Here's a vivid image from the prevalent agriculture of Jesus' day. Jesus was a carpenter, apprenticed in Joseph's business as a tacton. Strong likelihood that Jesus had built and sold such wooden harnesses placed on oxen to join them for plowing in a field. This same term was also used regarding slaves. So it's a metaphor for subjection to a conquering king. Yes, a master to bond servant relationship is in view. But Jesus makes this a call to willing, loving action. He makes this a call to willing, loving action. End of verse 28 is about what Jesus promises to give those who humbly come to him. His wondrous rest, refreshment. With verse 29 now, he calls us work-weary and burdened people to willingly take a new kind of loving action. Take my yoke upon you. Now, this is not Jesus saying, you better accept it and tolerate it. Put up with it. Learn to put up with it. But instead, Jesus calls for a willing receptivity to lovingly wear this yoke. Taking Christ's yoke means letting him, our loving King and teacher, renew, reorient, revalue your heart so you're following, obeying, loving King and teacher, Jesus. This is the wearing of his yoke. Letting him renew, reorient, revalue your heart. So you're loyally responding to Jesus' good words and ways. It's willingly relinquishing control of my life to Jesus, control of your life to Jesus as your true and gracious King. Willingly relinquishing control of your life to King Jesus. Saying, yes, I'll get in the yoke with him and let him guide, let him lead, let him do the work. Now join him there, willingly relinquishing control. Trusting his power and direction as you grow anew and join in God's good work. Take his yoke. Take his yoke and you become his disciple, hearing and doing all that Jesus teaches. And that leads us into his next clause. And learn from me. And learn from me. Here's the action-oriented version of the word disciple or apprentice. This lingo was not totally unique to Jesus. There were plenty of rabbis and teachers who called disciples, apprentices, to come follow and learn from them. Big difference was Jesus' posture, plans, and purposes, aiming for sacrificial love in action. Aiming for sacrificial love in action. It's why Jesus says in John 13, 35, and everyone will know that you are my apprentices, you are my disciples, you are my followers. And they see the love you're expressing for one another. Everyone will know that you are my apprentices, my disciples, as you love one another in action. See, Jesus' disciples are not on a knowledge and life philosophy trip. Certainly, gaining knowledge and working out a right life philosophy is good, but that's not the end all. There's a unique walk, a distinct way of apprenticing to Jesus. This is a yoke of loving, truth-filled, obedient service. John 13, 14, and 15, Jesus says to his disciples, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. A couple weeks back, how many of you watched the Super Bowl or parts of it? All right, if you did, you might have caught the Jesus Gets Us Super Bowl commercial. How many of you caught that? You saw them raising your heads and going, Okay, this raised a real ruckus, right? As it spotlighted washing feet. And there were certainly pros and cons to the ad and the agenda of its producers. I can see positive and negative issues on each side of the debate. Absolutely. But what I find ironic is the ire and the fire that the commercial raised among people all over. Now, in my mentioning it this morning, I'm not aiming to stir more controversy, so please don't at me. Good chance you'd be surprised by my thoughts. What's stunning to me is the rather arrogant, feisty, heated reactions that occurred, totally contra Jesus' heart. Philippians 2 verse 5 calls us to Jesus' same attitude, his nature as humble and others-oriented. 1 Peter 2 verse 21 highlights our call to enter in with his example of suffering, humble suffering, to follow in his steps. This whole concept is marvelously grasped through the image of an apprentice or intern. Now, apprenticeships in medicine, management, trades like electrical and plumbing, as well as pastoring and architectural design. How many of you have had an internship or an apprenticeship of some kind, or you've led somebody in one? How many of you? Yeah, bunch of hands. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about, right? Nance and I have loved watching the last couple of years, PBS, All Creatures Great and Small. Any other All Creatures fans out there? Yeah, several of you. If you're not, you need to be. Okay, high endorsement, high recommendation. All Creatures Great and Small. And what's really cool on there, a number of really cool things. Characterization's great. Storyline is great. I'm very rarely a moved to tears person at TV ever. I'm just not really moved. Oh, my goodness. Nance will look over and be like, it got you, didn't it? She'll chuckle at me because there'll be tears streaming down my face. It gets me. But one of the really neat things is seeing the veterinary apprentices on this show grow. So first, the lead character, James Herriot. Then recent season, Carmody. And now what's happening with each of these? Well, someone is growing in practice and skill, yes, but so much more. Why? Because when it comes to veterinary, at the end of the day, the animals aren't usually the problem. It's the people, right? It's the owners. You know? And it's a big theme in the show. And so what's happening? Heart and soul development that grows, that impacts how they practice veterinary with skill and love for people. Watch what Jesus explains next. The reason and cause, our impetus and motivation for such following, learning, apprenticing with Rabbi Jesus, middle of verse 29, what's he say? For I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus already said, learn from me. And now, he reveals his own heart. In his book, Gentle and Lowly, Dane Ortlund spotlights how this is the one place in the Gospels where Jesus tells us about his own heart. He says, perhaps the most wonderful words ever uttered on human lips. Jesus himself opens up to us his very heart. And then Ortlund proceeds to express the significance. He says, meek, humble, gentle. Jesus is not trigger happy, not harsh, reactionary, easily exasperated. He is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms. Lowly. The idea overlaps with gentle. Here's a layering effect that conveys Jesus as accessible, extremely approachable. There are not hoops to jump through. You're not constantly on probation with Jesus. Just open yourself up to him. Just open yourself up to him. Remember his welcoming tone. Come to me, all who are work weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now he tells the result. For anyone willing to take his yoke and learn his gentle and lowly heart, you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Remember our heart trouble we talked about earlier in Jeremiah 17, that heart trouble. It's the greatest need we have as humans, rest for our souls. That forgiveness of sins, that freedom from the burden and the guilt and the haunting stomping of death in our direction. We need freedom, we need rest, both now and forever. We need that forgiveness, freedom, rejuvenation, and renewal that starts there on the inside in our hearts. Here in verse 29, Jesus says, apprentices will discover rest. He promised rest in verse 28, and now in 29, he says, you will discover it, you will find it. Jesus' words distinctly echo Jeremiah 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Oh, how sad. Jesus fully has in mind a marvelous, better path to walk, a good way to follow him. Notice there's a choice to be made. Notice he describes it in this picturesque way as a crossroads, a decision point. Which direction will I go? And sadly, too often, and his commentary right here on his own people is what? You said, we will not walk in it. Oh, how sad. How's your heart these days? Just to seal the deal with explanation. Verse 30, Jesus caps it in bold color. Note what he says. For my yoke is kind, easy, pleasant. My burden is light to bear. Why? Why? Because he doesn't call for any change? Because it takes absolutely no real effort, choices, or transformations? No. No. We're dealing with a master. We're dealing with the best king ever. Why so good and pleasant? Because you're yoked with Jesus. The most wonderful king ever, the most powerful, true, lasting, life-giving, rest-bringing king ever. You're united with Christ Jesus. There's a good chance you're still not fully buying what Jesus says. I know it. I've done the same thing in heart and mind. Consider the true meaning behind the word easy. When you search and sip from scholars who deep dive on this, they all agree on this word, easy. The word means good, pleasant, kind. It's a yoke, yes, but what's it really wear like? What's Jesus really saying? What's this word really mean? Are you ready? It's easy. That's what he means. Truly. What's Jesus saying? It's easy. Come on. Come follow me. Life is hard. Yes. Jesus says that all kinds of other places. Is it challenging? Yes. Is this bound to be adventuresome? Yes. I'll call you to adventure some change. I will call you to deep transformation and challenging endeavors, but it's going to be easier than you think. Surprising good and pleasant even. Why? Because I am with you. We're in the yoke together. You get yoked with the best king ever. You get yoked with the person who is full of beauty, full of holiness, full of power, full of transformation, King Jesus. The one who loves you like crazy, forgives you with abundant grace, pours on the mercy day after day. Why would you not go, yeah, get me in that yoke? Yeah. He says, come on. It's going to be easier than you think because I am with you. So trust me. At his very core, best expression of Jesus' holy intention, he is gentle and lowly. Really? Now, maybe you're still not buying it. I can see it in some of your eyes. Again, why can I say? I've been there. Thought it, felt it, done it. It's important for you to know, there's no footnote. There's no yada yada. It's not one of those like agreements where drop down and there's, it's not one of those radio commercials where at the tail end they leave a whole nother minute to go. No. Working with Jesus feels lighter because of his meek and humble, approachable character, his fresh understanding of truly right living. You see, he takes us fully into the Father's heart and abundant, true flourishing, God's good and beautiful, transformative purposes for us. The core of Jesus' gentle and lowly heart, one of the foremost expressions is his compassion. His merciful compassion. That's gentle tenderness. Inner you that's stirred and taking action for others. That's merciful compassion. That inner you that gets stirred and goes, oh, that person's having a hard day. Oh, I'll make space. I see what's going on right there today. Oh my goodness, they're piled on. Oh, hey, would you like to, you want to do coffee? You want to do coffee Saturday morning? Are you? Merciful compassion is your heart moved and stirred with Jesus-style heart in a tender way that moves you to action on behalf of somebody else. And this shows up all over Jesus' life, this gentle tenderness in action. Catch these clips in Tender Insights, Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Matthew 9, 35 and 36, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14, verse 14. Matthew 14, 14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 15, verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I'm unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. Such compassion. Is your heart gentle and lowly, reflecting compassion for others? Every human heart gets shaped. Every human heart gets shaped. Yours has been shaped and is being shaped. How's your heart being shaped like Jesus? How's your heart being shaped like Jesus? And I'll bet if you ponder right now, you can recall your own sacred heart spaces, pivotal moments when your heart was shaped by someone else's heart. I can take you to a kitchen table convo when I was 15 years old, about 9 p.m. on a Sunday evening. I had come in from out at the barn and had done the late evening chores and came in and plunked down and ended up in this conversation with my mom. That convo, heart to heart with my mom, shaped my heart for serving in ministry and mission for Jesus. As did many a pivotal ride with my dad in his 61 GMC pickup. And good coffee with a handful of wise and godly mentors over the years. See, hearts are contagious. Their hearts shape my heart. Others' hearts shape your heart. But most of all, Jesus' heart shapes our hearts. How's your heart? And how compassionate are you? Decide before you leave this morning how you'll show Christ's gentle and lowly compassion and mercy this week. Determine something, someone, some way you'll get it out there. You'll express gentle and lowly compassion and mercy this week. And the starting point for this is to come to Jesus and learn from him. Come to Jesus and learn from him. His tone is gentle and lowly. And there's no yada yada. Last week, when it snowed, we took our dog Moosty for a walk in the big field. It was wrapping up snowing, and we went down to the big field below our house to go for a walk with the dog. And in the thick snow, we decided to take Moosty off leash. Well, he's fat and furry, so he really can't run. At least not far. He kind of glumps. Like he's some mythical creature from a faraway land. Except for when he sees another dog off in the distance. And then suddenly he's transformed into a gazelle. I'm not kidding you. Which of course happened. And he, whoosh, was off like a rocket. Both Nance and I instinctually started yelling forcefully, Moosty, come, come, top of our lungs, come now, right now, come. Nothing. And then, almost completely in sync, I'm not kidding you, you can tell we've been married 32 years, almost completely in sync, we realized it, and our tone was all wrong, and we switched, both of us. We were still projecting, but it was, hey, Moosty, come on, buddy, best dog ever, come on, come on. And what do you know? He stopped. He looked back and bolted back toward us. Tone makes all the difference. Jesus' heart tone with you and me, gentle, lowly. He's offering us rest. He simply says, come, learn from me. It's going to be easier than you think. This morning, as we wrap up, I'm going to invite you to contemplate and reflect and express your heart to Jesus. Start to experience his rest. Gabby and the team are going to come and lead us in a closing song. And there's also going to be time when we're all done and space still in this room for you to stay and pray. A prayer team will be here at the front. And we warmly invite you to come if you have an area this morning where you'd like prayer and encouragement. Pray for healing, hope, help of any kind. We'd love you to come. If you've not already on your way today, I encourage you to grab a copy of Ortland's book. We started to give these away a couple months ago, and some of you grabbed them, but we have some more. They're free because of a generous donor with the publisher. and it is indeed a great book. Coming up March 10th, I want to alert you to this. It's a one-service Sunday again. We're trying to sprinkle these throughout the year, extra special Sunday, and it's going to be completely dedicated to some heart work in us through songs and stories. The whole time is that. It truly is. Songs and stories. So I invite you to be back for that, make plans for that. You don't want to miss it. Let's stand together. Let's stand. I want to pray for us, and the team is going to come and lead us in a closing song. Jesus, we praise you that you are gentle and lowly. And we thank you that there are no footnotes with that. There's no disclaimers. There's mercy, grace, and love in light of who we are, in light of our heart trouble, in light of our all-out need for you. We thank you that you meet us right there. And there are many of us today standing at that crossroads, maybe for the first time, maybe once again. Help us get on your path, apprentice with you. Follow you, King Jesus. Thank you for such promises of rest. Thank you for such a call, such a clarion call. Thank you that you promise that rest and you say it'll be easy. Thank you that amidst all the hardships, the trials and the temptations, you invite us and you call us to get into that yoke with you. So help us right now run toward your mercy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you for how great you are.